The Winter Olympics are just four sleeps away, held on the 9th of February. Held in Pyeongchang, Korea, it's brought the relationship between North and South Korea back into the spotlight as the two countries unite in front of millions at the opening ceremony. Henry Tai spoke to Dr. Leonid Petrov about the Olympics' effect on international relations.
As the Games approach, the Koreas have offered olive branches to one another, with the Koreans marching under one flag in the opening ceremony. The saber-rattling from the North has died down, but Dr. Leonid Petrov of ANU's College of Asia and the Pacific says it's not surprising.
Well, I think it's in the nature of the Olympic Games. Since the time they were incepted, all wars would stop and give opportunity to the nations and former rivals to compete in a peaceful way. So I think that's pretty natural that the Korean War, which is still continuing, is now curbed by the more important peaceful event where people can meet and compete and talk and celebrate. And I think that's the very good dynamic, particularly for Korea, which has been divided for the last 67 years after the Korean War started. And we have to remember that the nation remains divided and separated along the ideological lines.
The Games could be an opportunity and fertile ground for further diplomatic talks. Neither is this the first time the two Koreas have marched under one flag, nor have joined together in a sporting team.
It's also called second-track diplomacy, where people-to-people or team-to-team communication can provide a favorable background for the politicians to talk. So, of course, it's very hard to imagine that Korea would unify immediately, but this is an important step in the reconciliation process. And this step started first time the both teams managed to iron out their differences and get together and play. Soccer match was in 1998 at the Asian Games, where North and South Korean athletes played together, and actually there was quite significant synergy, which brought quite positive results.
This won't be the first time the two Koreas marched together, as they did in Sydney and Athens.
So it was a number of occasions when North and South Koreans managed to participate together and even march under one unified flag at the International Olympic Forum. I would attribute those events to the ongoing reconciliation process, the so-called sunshine policy, which South Korea implemented towards the North, the policy of unconditional help to their North Korean brothers and sisters, where no strings were attached to humanitarian and cultural sports activities.
Dr. Petrov also says this second-track diplomacy leaves no space for military action.
The Olympic Games provide the alternative channel for communication, whereas it has been just a hotline between the militaries. Now, North Korean delegation of athletes can visit South Korea, and South Korean athletes can visit North Korea. So, of course, there's no space for military confrontation. So the defense priorities have been given way to the humanitarian considerations. The Team Korea is now striving to win more medals together, and the military confrontation is simply something which doesn't fit this picture. And once the Olympic Games are over, it's very likely that the military and security considerations again would prevail, and both Koreas would need to address them again. But it will inevitably continue as long as the Korean War is not finished. So I think that the so-called ping-pong diplomacy or Winter Olympics are going to provide a good chance for other groups of the people, not only to the military, to talk.
Dr. Leonid Petrov from the College of Asia and the Pacific at ANU, ending that report by Henry Tai.